We're on Daf Kuf Mem Dalid Omer Al, three lines up from the Tam Ashkachan. Let's just remind ourselves that Shmuel told us that Rabbi Yehud is moda to the Chachomim in Zaysim Vadnovim, that certainly the Mashke Sheyotze Behen is also, we have a Chashash that he might come to do Schita, and we have to be Machmir. And the Chachamim are moded to Rabbi Yehuda in Shar Peros, that these are Omdim Lachila, they're not Omdim to Schita, we have no Chashash Schita. So Gemara asks, Ashkechan, we found a Braisa there of Nachman Bar Yitzchak quoted, that Rabbi Yehuda de Modi le Rabbanu B'Zeisim Anovim. But the flip side, Rabbanan de Module le Rabbi Yehuda b'Shar Peres Minolan. How did Shmuel know that the Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Yehuda in Shar Peros that there's no chashash and therefore the Mashkim Yotzim and Peres on Mutter? And Gemara answers the Sanya. We have a Brisa here. We're going to turn to Kuf Mem Dalet Amid Beis. Sochatin bepgaim ubeprishim ubez uzradin. Pagodim are what we call shizifim, peaches, and parishim are chavushim, and uzradin are peres ha'uzrar. So let's try to translate this into English. We have plums, quinces, and sorb apples. And we're allowed to squeeze the juice out of these three types of fruits on Shabbos because they're not generally used for squeezing. And therefore, this is not considered a melacha told of dash, a schita mishum dash, and therefore it's mutter. And Rashi points out over here that although the melacha of charisha applies to a category where you generally extract the juice from the object, now we have a different category. We have something that although it conceals the juice inside of it, but it's not subject to schita. In other words, when we talk about threshing, which means to break the kernel off the food, and we extract the non-food element, the husk, squeezing liquids from fruits will come under the malacha of dash, of threshing, only if the liquid is a beverage, and then you could say that squeezing represents taking one category of an object, a beverage, from a different category of an object, a food that converts, that covers it. And that's similar to the paradigm case of dash, where you extract from a non-food the husk, the kernel, which is the food. Now, if on the other hand, you have a liquid which is not generally used for drinking, then it doesn't have a shem mashke, but rather it's called an ochel. So that if meleches dash, in the case of schitas peros, means creating a mashke out of an ochel and separating the two, in the case where even the mashke is not a mashke, but it's an ochel, because it's not used for drinking, then you haven't violated the malach of dash. So the Braisa therefore codifies this heter to squeeze plums, quinces, sorb apples for the juice. The juice is still considered an ochel, and you haven't created a mashke from an ochel. Avaloberi monim. But pomegranates, that's something different. People often designate the pomegranates to squeeze the juice out, and they drink pomegranate juice. The Rambam says it's very healthy. And therefore, this would be a violation of Schita Mishum Dash. Okay, fine. So now, the Braisa goes on to tell us, Shal Beis Menashe Bar Menachem, Hayu Sochatim Berimonim. So there was one group of apparently Talmidei Chachamim, and they used to squeeze out. So now the question is, what is this Braisa referring to? It says Hayu Sochatim. Are we talking about Sochatim Berimonim on Shabbos or on Chol? So apparently, the Braisa wants to indicate that pomegranates are used for squeezing out juice, and it uses the example of Beis Menashe to demonstrate that these people would squeeze out pomegranates for the juice on a weekday. And therefore, even if other people, let's say, would not usually do so, but nevertheless, it's also the Sultan v'Shabbos. And this Braisa that was Matir Schita of plums and quinces and the sorb apples, Lechatchila, we see that even the Chachamim that disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in Tusim v'Rimonim, nevertheless in Shar Peros, since they're not Omdim L'Schita, they concede to Rabbi Yehuda's position, and the juice that comes out of them is not Mamashke, it's rather an Ochel, because it's not Omed L'Mashke. And therefore there's no possibility of dash if you would come to squeeze them. So there's no Gzeres Chachomim on Mashkim Shezovu, because we always say the Gzeres Chachomim Mashkim Shezovu is lest he come to squeeze them, but here he's allowed to squeeze them. Now, the assumption here of this Gemara is that this Braisa, which is Matir, squeezing those various categories of fruits, is the sheet of the Chachamim. So the Gemara immediately jumps, Umimai Derabbanan hi. Who says that this Braisa reflects the sheet of the Chachamim? Dilma Rabbi Yehuda? And Rabbi Yehuda holds that most fruits, since they are Omed Lachila, the Mitz is Mutter, Mitz Shezomim, Mash Shezomim is Mutter, because he's not in any way creating a mashke, because it's omed l'achila. And he says, Tehevi nami, if this price is kishitas Rabbi Yehuda, we'll still have a difficulty. Emer d'shamas le Rabbi Yehuda, yotzu miatzma. We only know that Rabbi Yehuda went as far as to say that if the juices came out on their own, you're allowed to drink them. But sochtin l'chatchila mishamet le, did Rabbi Yehuda go as far as to allow you to squeeze them l'chatchila? That's certainly not Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Elamai islach le'meimar came into la b'nei schita ninu afil l'chatchila. You're going to have to tell me that since you don't usually squeeze the mitz out of these juices, is therefore the ultimate is considered an ochel, and therefore even l'chatchila it's going to be mutter, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to squeeze them on Shabbos. And the heter in Shar Peros, other than Seisim HaNovim, is going to be not only limited to the juice that goes out on the, but you're allowed to squeeze them lechatchila. You're not separating a mashke from an ochel, but rather you're separating ochel from ochel. Is then afilu tamer abonon, even if we're going to say that this braisa reflects the sheet of the Chacham, came into lab and a schita in afilu chatchila. Maybe you're allowed to be sochid them even lechatchila because they're lab and a schita in it. And we never heard about a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim regarding something which is lab and a schita. Shmamino, we see from this braisa that Rabbanon will accept this psak, this ruling. Shmamino, therefore, we could derive the conclusion from here that according to the Chachamim, it's mutter l'chatchila to be sochet peros that are not omed l'schita. And that's why there's no rhyme or reason to institute an act of gzera on mashkin shezavu, lest he go ahead and squeeze them out on his own when he's allowed to squeeze them out on his own. So this is the raya to Shmuel that the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yehuda in Shar Peros, And the only machloka is going to be in Tusim Virimon. So Gemara now is going to analyze this part of the Braisa. Shel Beis Menashe Bar Menachma Yisochatim, even during the weekday, Virimonim, in order to extract their juices, and therefore it's also on Shabbos to squeeze them, because they're omnate the schita. And the mashke sheyotzemen is a mashke. Omer of Nachman Alocha Kishel Beis Menashe Bar Menachem. We paskin like Beis Menashe. So the Gemara says, what do you mean you paskin like Beis Menashe? Are they the leaders of the generation that they rule in Alocha? Omer le'Rovler of Nachman V'chi Menashe Ben Menachem Tanahu. He's the Tana who could generate an Iser and paskin to Iser, that therefore you accept the Alocha like Menashe Ben Menachem. Menashe Ben Menachem never even expressed an opinion on this. The Tana only quotes him in order to show that there's an Iser of Schitas Rimonim, and he brings to his aid the evidence of Menashe Ben Menachem that they used to squeeze out the juices from the Rimonim. V'chitem, and maybe what Rav Nachman meant when he said Halacha Kishel Beis Menashe is Halacha Ki Hai Tana Disavala Kishel Menashe Ben Menashe Ben Menachem. In other words, the Tana that brought a proof from Menashe, and that was the minug that he relied upon, that Menashe was Sochet Rimonim on Chol. That's why it's also on Shabbos. That's what he meant by paskening like Menashe. So Gemara says, if that be the case, and it's still difficult on Rav Nachman, Mishum Desova Ki Menashe Ben Menachem, therefore Locha Ki Moso, Menashe Ben Menachem Havi Ruba Di Alma. Just because Menashe Ben Menachem has one particular group in Klal Yisrael would squeeze the juice out of the Rimonim, therefore that's going to be Kovei Ledin, the minhag for all of Klal Yisrael. He's not the Rov HaOlam. And the Gemara says in that a minhag in one place could in fact be Kovei Lalocha for other places. The Snan, we learned in the Mishnah in Kelayim, and we're talking about now Kalaya Kerem Hamakayim Kotzim BeKerem. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kidesh, V'chachom Omerim Eino Kidesh, Eladovar Shekemo Mekayimim. So now we have a case of Kotzim, and he's got a Kerem and Kotzim. And Rabbi Eliezer says that the Kerem and the Kotzim together, that mixture is Osir Bano, and it has the status of Kalaya Kerem. The Chachom say no, there's no Iser Kalaya Kerem, unless we're talking about a Yerek, a vegetable, which people are Makayim. In other words, they designate it for Achila. They don't pull it out of the ground. But in the case of Kotzim, that's what they do. They pull it out of the ground. So there's no Iser Kalayim on something that has no Kiyum. The Omer Rav Chanina. My time with Rabbi Eliezer. Why does Rabbi Eliezer go so harsh, you know, he's so machmir in Kotzim Bekerim. Reviewing the Chachomim's opinion, Eino Mekadesh, there's no Iser Kalayim, Eladov Shekamo Mekaimim, as opposed to something like these Kotzim, which we certainly want to be Oker, and therefore there's no Iser Kalayim. V'yomer Abchanina, my time with Rabbi Eliezer, why does he assume that Kotzim have an Iser Kalayim? Shekain, be Arvia, in a place called Arvia, Mekaimim Kotzei Sodos L'Gmaleim. There's one place in the world, some location, a spot on the earth, where people are Mekaim these Kotzei Sodos for the purpose of giving the Kotzim as food for their Gmalim. And you see clearly from the words of Rabbi Chanina that Rabbi Eliezer is willing to be Koveh Dalocha all over the world in Kelaim based on the minug that was Noeg in Arvia. The Gemara says, Midi Iria. Is that really a proof? Arvia Asra. Arvia is a place where many people live, and many people have that minog. It's a minog of Rabim, it has chashivas, but hocha, here, Beis Menashe, one person has a tradition, has a custom to squeeze out the juice of pomegranates, is Bala Daitetsa Kolodom. we don't have to be mitchashev with one person. Ella, but rather the Gemara now offers another explanation of Rav Nachman's psak, that is, no heter is an iser of schita v'rimonim v'hainu taima the Rav Nachman. Why? Kid Rav Chizda, the Amar Rav Chizda, Rav Nachman is standing on the shoulders of Rav Chizda, trodin, which is a kind of beets, and the mitz, the juice that you can squeeze out of these beets, of course, have a red color to it, just chatan. Vinasnan ba mikva, you squeezed out the juice of these beets and you poured it into the mikva. Poslimus a mikva b'shinui mara, that one of the various halachas that apply to a mikva becomes possible b'shinui mara when its color changes, and that applies only with mashkim other than mayim. Mayim only passes a mikva with what's called she'uvim, if it was taken into a kli. In a kamus of volume 3, Lugim, but now we're talking about something other than Mayim, and other than Mayim, it's a different kind of psul called Shini Mara. So the kasha is, Voho Tardin la b'nei schita ninu, the mitz, the juice that comes out of Tardin, of these beets, does not have the status of a mashke. Only a mashke could pass a mikvah b'shini mara. And the juice, the red colored juice that comes out of a beet is not the mashke. Elamai Yislachon, maybe you only have one possible answer. Came in the Akshav Vinu, Havile Mashke. Since you decided that you want to squeeze out these beets for the purpose of collecting their juice, so you indicated that you like this mitz, this juice is very important to you, you want it as a mashke. That gives it and generates the Torah's mashke and apostles the mikvah. Hanami here too, with regard to schitas peros, which was mentioned in the brisa. It's asur on Shabbos to be socher a pri for the purpose of shtiyas hamitz, even if the pri is generally speaking omed lachila. But you decided in your mind, you made the decision, you want to squeeze out for its juice. It's keva the achshavinu havilu mashke, just like we saw. The svar of kevad achshavinu avalei mashke with regard to the juice of beets, because you decide you want the juice. So too in the case of peros, schitas peros, you decide you want the juice, that gives it a shame mashke. And you are machshavit with your decision to be a mashke, and therefore you're going to be chayv on schita mishum dash. Based on this, we can understand the brisa that permitted schita of plums and other kinds of pears that are similar, that are omid for achila. That's only when he squeezed them in order lamatek esapri, in order to sweeten the taste of the pri. But he didn't squeeze them in order to drink the mitz. He wasn't making a plum juice or an apple juice or anything of that sort. And therefore, he wasn't machshav as a mashke. But in the case of rimonim, if you want to be sochet the rimonim, albeit for the sake of lamatek, that's osur on Shabbos. And the reason for it is because we find yechidim in the base menashe, etc., that they are regilim, they have this minug to squeeze out rimonim on chol for the purpose of shtiyas hamashke. And therefore, if we're going to be matir, schita of rimonim, for one purpose, meaning for the purpose of mituk apri, they're going to make a mistake and they're going to think, well, we can also be sochet for another purpose, namely for a mashke, in order to get pomegranate juice. And now, if he's sochet l'shei mashke, he's machshev the mitzvah as through his schita as a mashke, well, then he's going to be chayv on schita mishum dash. And that was the psak of Rav Nachman when he meant to say halacha kish shel beis menashe. In the case of pagayim, of plums, and those kinds of apples that we spoke about, and we spoke about quinces, sorb apples, etc., those sharperos that are mentioned in the brisa, we don't have a chash that maybe if we're mate or schita for the purpose of lamatek, they'll come to do schita l'shem mashke, because we never heard of anybody who squeezes the juice from quinces and sorb apples and plums to make a juice out of it. Now, we had brought Rav Chizda in the case of Mei Tardin, that it passels the mikvah. And the Gemara has a new explanation here for Rav Chizda's halacha. Rav Papa Amar Mei Schitas Tardin, right, the juice that comes, that's squeezed out of the beets. did not have a Torah mashke, even though he squeezed out the beets because he wants the mashke, that doesn't make it into a Torah mashke. The reason why he passes a mikvah is mishum da havi dovar, this Rav Papa's chiddush, havi dovar she'ein osim imenu mikvah lechatchila. Kol dovar she'ein osim imenu mikvah lechatchila posel sa mashke v'shinu mara. The halacha is that a mikvah has to be made from mayim, or you could take, let's say, snow or hail and squeeze out, you know, and melt it and you get mayim. That's fine, but you can't make a mikvah from anything other than mayim, and therefore becomes a dovar she'ein osim imenu mikvah, and in such a case, it passes the mikvah b'shinui mara. Rava also used this principle to explain a Mishnah in Mikvos. Tanan Hossam, we have a Mishnah in the 7th Perek Mikvos. Nofal Etocho, something fell into a Mikvah. What was that? Yayin or Chometz Umochel, either wine or vinegar, or this Mashke that comes out of Zaysim, which is called Mochel. And it's not oil, but it's something that that comes out at the beginning of the Schita of Zaysim. It comes into a Kli. And any of these falling into a mikvah will shinui marav if the color of the water of the mikvah changes. It's a mikvah possible. That's the Mishnah in mikvah. So Gemara asks, man tana, which tana holds that mochel is in fact a mashke? So let's just see the English translation of the word mochel. He says that, let me just find it for a second, sorry. He says that we're talking about, we're talking about something called olive water fell, olive water. So when he presses the olives and various secretions come out of the olives initially, that's called mochel, olive water that oozes from the olives. In fact, mochel fits into three different categories depending upon which stage of the process you're up to. The olives at first, when they're placed into a maton, which is a very large vat, and the olives are close to each other, that causes them to generate heat, and they begin to ripen. At this point, they exude liquid. The liquid is thin, and it's like water. It's clear like water. Now the olives spend a few days in the vat, and they weigh upon each other. Now we get a more thick kind of a fluid, similar to olive oil. And then finally, when the olives are tied into a sort of a netting called an ikul, they're placed under a beam, a heavy stone, they're pressed, and they press out the oil. Now, after the pressing of the oil, there's a mass of pulp that remains in the netting for a time, and we get a certain kind of olive water that exudes from this pulp. And that oozes out. That's called the third level, or third stage of mochel, of olive water. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, man tano, which is the tana that holds the mochel mashke, who an apostle is a mikvah b'shini mara, Omer Abayi, Rabbi Yaakov, he desanya, we learned to the Bryce, Rabbi Yaakov, Omer mochel, that comes out of the zesim, harehu ke mashke, it's considered like a mashke, umatam omer mochel ayotzim et chila tar, and if you'll ask me, well, if it's a mashke, and this is the first stage of mochel, when he put the zeisim in this large vat called a maton, and it gets hot, it gets warmed up, and you're telling me it's not a mashke, and it's tar, and I just finished telling you that mochel is a mashke. And the answer is, lefisha eino rotze bekiyuma, the Torah's mashke is only chal, when the bailim are happy, they want it to come out of the pri. And here, in this case of mochel, when they put it in the maton, as we said before, they're not happy with this machel, mochel ayotze mitchila. So then, on the one hand, Mochel, which is Yotzim and Azesim, Rabbi Yaakov says, Harei hu kemashke, it is subject or susceptible, say, to Tuma. And the reason for that is it's called a mashke. But when they say that olive water, Mochel, at the beginning of the process is not susceptible to Tuma, that's Lefisha Eino Rotze Bekiyumo. So apparently, Rav Yaakov is differentiating between different stages of Mochel. The original first stage of Mochel, when they're first placed in the vat, he is Eino Rotze Bekiyumo. And therefore, is Mochel Hayotzim and Betchila Potu. That's is Tar. That's Betchila. But Mochel Reikim Mashke is a reference to a later stage. And let me just read one thing over here. I think this will shed a light here. If I can only find the place, hang in there with me. Okay. So in Vayikra, the Torah says that food becomes susceptible to Tuma when it has contact with any of the liquids of the Machshirim. And those Machshirim are called Mashkim, literally translated as a beverage. So this is called Hechsher Lekabel Tuma. Now, amongst these beverages, we have wine, blood, oil, milk, dew, bees, honey. So let's focus for a minute on these liquids, and we'll say they cause the food to become susceptible to Tuma. And we have a pasuk, for example, for milk, Vatiftach esnod hechalav vatashkeu. And vatashkeu means it has a status of a mashke. So all mashkim are similar to beverage. They have a shem mashke, similar to milk. And this is true both of human milk and animal milk, cow's milk. Okay, fine. Now, we tried to learn the sugya of the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva, where there's a distinction between human milk and cow's milk as far as yotza shelo beratzon. But the general rule is that we need beratzon, and that's called rotza bekiyuma. Now Rabbi Shimon, now in our brisa, says mochel eino kemashke. It's not going to be mekabel tum. It's not a mashke. Matamar mochel yotzei equal beis abad tome. So for what reason is the olive water that flows from the equal, from the netting of the olives, that's in the third stage, why is it mekabel tumah? Lefishi efshalo below tzuchei shemen. There must be some added mixture here, some element of actual oil that's mixed in with the olive water. It's impossible to have olive water at this stage without some trace of oil, real full-fledged oil, which generates a shem mashke, a full-fledged beverage, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. The water itself is not a beverage, the olive water, but the oil within this mixture, the olive oil, is mekabel tumah. In any event, what do we get out of this, for our purposes? That, with the exception of water, which comes out at the beginning of the process, at stage one, Rabbi Yaakov holds that olive water in stages 2 and 3, let's say, is considered a mashke. Therefore, we assume that we can identify him, meaning Rav Yaakov, as the one who would hold that olive water would invalidate a mikveh when it changes its color, when it changes the color of the mikveh, because it's a davar shein osim and a mikveh lechatchila, and it has a shein mashke. So that's the shita of Rav Yaakov. Now the Gemara asks my Beinai, what's the nafkamina between Rav Yaakov and Rav Shimon? Both agree that this mochel, this olive water, when it comes out at the beginning of the process, it's not susceptible to tum, it's eino rotze bekiyumo, whereas the water that flows from the olives subsequently is is certainly a mashkin, it's makabel tuma. And Rabbi Shimon spelled it out because there's oil mixed into this water. So Gemara says, the osi basar itzatzta. The water that comes out after the initial pressure of the olives, one on top of the other. Notice we're talking about that second, the second level of olive water. That's not exactly water, but on the other hand, it's not yet oil. And it's oily enough, perhaps, that the Bailin might want it to exist, and it's Rotsa B'Kiyumo. And the question is, what is the status of that water that comes out of the olives? Is it a mashke, as Rabbi Yaakov would say, or is it not a mashke? Rava Omer, he thinks that the reason why olive water invalidates a mikveh when it falls in and changes the color of mikveh, mishum davi dover sheina osim imenu mikveh, since this water is not water, it's not a substance for which you can make a mikveh, is posel sam mikveh b'shinui mara. And we don't need to call it a mashke or not. All we need is to say, even if it's not a mashke legally, but since it's a davar shein osim imenu mikveh, then it changes. If it changes the color of the mikveh, it passes the mikveh v'shinui mara. Now, one can wonder about Rava over here, exactly what he's changing. I mean, he's saying perhaps that the Mishnah could reflect both the Shita Rav Yaakov and Rav Shimon, meaning they argue back and forth about this water that comes from the olives, whether it's a beverage, whether it's a mashke, or it's not a mashke. But regardless, even if it's not a mashke, it still will pass a mikveh, that's what Rava says. So therefore, both Rav Yaakov and Rav Shimon would agree to this halacha that the zaysim pasul the mikveh v'shinui mara. Now, with regarding grapes, what about squeezing grapes on Shabbos? Some Rav Yehuda and Shmuel sochet adam eshkol shel anov l'tocha kedera avolol l'tocha kara. In other words, we said that schita mishum dash applies when you create a mashke. So when you're squeezing these grapes, where are the juice going? Are you collecting them, or is it going into a pot of food? If it's going into a pot of food, then you haven't created a mashke. It goes from the state of an ochel into a state of an ochel. It doesn't have that middle status at all while it's in the air, going from the grapes into the pot. But if he, on the other hand, squeezes it and collects it into a bowl or any sort of a receptacle, now he's created a mashke. And therefore, he's going to be chayiv for sochet mishum dash. Omar Rav Chisda, midivrei Rabbeinu nilmad, from the words of our rabbi, we should derive the conclusion that cholev adam eiz l'tocha kedera v'lo l'tocha kara. If a person milks a goat, and the milk goes directly into a pot, from the udders, he squeezes it into a pot, and there's food in the pot, so that he never created a shei mashke, it went from ochel to ochel. That's fine. But if he collects the goat's milk in a bowl, then he's really clearly creating a mashke, and therefore he's violating meleches sochet. So the act of milking an animal falls in the category of mefarik, because he draws the milk from the dad, and it's like drawing or extracting the kernel from its husk. Rav Chisda therefore paskins that just like someone who squeezes grapes into food, if he squeezes the milk into food, then it doesn't become a mashke. Alma kasover mashka boli ochel ochel. If this liquid that's extracted from an ochel goes straight into an ochel, it remains an ochel. It never became a mashke, and therefore you're allowed to squeeze it. This is what we do, by the way, with lemons. You know, we squeeze it right on top of food, and the lemon juice goes on top of food, so it's not sochet mishum dash, because it never became a mashke. Masiv, Rami Bar Chama, he has a Mishnah in Taros, and it says, Zav Shecholev Esha Eiz Tomei. When a Zav milks a goat, the milk is Tomei. And why does the milk become tummy? I mean, the Zav never came in direct contact with the milk, but apparently we have here a Tumas Heset, which means that he, the Zav, is supporting the weight of something. In other words, when he milks the goat, in this case, he supports the weight of the milk while he directs its stream. And that's called Tumas Heset. Now, the Mishnah doesn't make any chilukim. It's unqualified. Did he milk the goat into a pot or into a bowl? It seems like the milk is tummy in any case. V'yamit mashka bali ochlin ochlinu ochlhu. Why didn't the Mishnah make a distinction and say that, wait a minute, when he milks the goat, if it goes straight into ochel, then it doesn't have a shem mashke. It's only ochel, is b'mayis kasher. In other words, in order for something to come, to become tome, it has to become mukshel kabel tum. It has to be brought into a beverage. But according to what we've said until now, the goat's milk never became a beverage. And if the Mishnah says that he's tome, that the cholov is tome, it must be holding that we consider the status of the milk to be a mashke, and that's what's going to be machshel lekabel tuma. Now it's interesting because beverages in general, I mean mashken, don't have to be specifically rendered susceptible in order to acquire tumah. So let me just read to you the Gemara here says that a Mishnah lo chilka bein cholev l'kedero l'kar iam et mashka voli ochlin ochlu im kain b'cholev l'tocha kedero sheyesh l'chalav din ochel Edo Makabal Tuma Achiyovalov Mashkaviach Shiro. So it's interesting. You know, we look at the milk as a beverage, but we're saying now that it goes into the Kedera and it remains an Ochel. If it remains an Ochel, it's not Makabal Tuma unless it had a Heksher with a Mashka. You know, it's funny because we're actually taking a liquid substance and we're demanding that it come in contact with another liquid substance in order to be Mukshal Kabal Tuma. But again, we're dealing with halachas and legal categories. And legally, if we don't have a mashke, we have an ochel, then that ochel cannot be mekabel tumah, in this case, tumah seset of a zav, without first coming in contact with one of the mashke. So the Gemara answers, Kida Omar, Rabbi Yochanan had a comment and an explanation of a mission in Kalim. The case is a woman who's in nida and milk drips from her breast into an earthenware stove. Notaf cholav midadeha litanur. And the Mishnah says that the tanur became tame. So the Gemara elsewhere, Masechta Krisos, quotes this Mishnah in Kalim and asks the following question. How does this milk become tamei when it doesn't have a Torah's mashke? Now, why doesn't it have a Torah's mashke? Because this breast milk is designated for the child. And therefore, it's a case of mashke haboli ochel, and its din is that of an ochel. And if that be the case, then bameh huchshar hacholah. We need a heksher, one of the makshirim, especially since we're saying that the milk is not a mashke. It's habol yochel dino ka ochel. So Rabbi Yochanan gave the answer, betipa hamaluch leches al pi hadad. In other words, this woman would like a certain drop of milk, the first drop of milk, to remain on her breast. Why? Because that makes it easier for her to nurse the child. Now that one drop that she wants to remain there and not go into the baby's mouth is not a mashke. I'm sorry, is a mashke, I meant to say. And why does it have the din of a mashke? Because it's not miyud le'ochel atinok. The tinok is not going to eat it. Now, if we use Rav Yochanan's principle and now apply it to the case of the goat's milk, so here too, the cholov is huchshar, v'tipa meluch leches al pi adad, which means that when the professional milkers, you know, they milk the dad of the animal, they want a wet the dad with the first drop of milk that comes out, and that makes milking a lot easier. That one drop of milk that comes out at the beginning is considered a mashke because he's not interested in using that drop in the pot of food. Mosiv Ravina. Ravina asks a kasha now from a Mishnah in Taras. Tmei mes shesochat zesiv v'anovim. So we're now on the top of Kuf Mem Hei. So somebody who had contracted tuma from a mess, okay, and he's metame ochlin umashkin, and now he squeezes out zesim v'anovim kebeitza mechuvenes. That is an exact kebeitza's worth of a quantity of this, we'll call it oil or wine, or you want to call it grape juice. And the mashke that comes out, kibetza mechuvenes, is tahor. Now, there's a precise volume here, which is equal to an egg. And what's happening is that the liquid that he extracts from these zeisim anovim, they themselves are tame, but nothing can be contaminated by them. That's what he means by tahar. So let's read what's going on. He says, "Hatame lo noga b'mashke." This tummy mess never came in direct contact with the mashke that came out of the zeisim anovim. Elarak bepri, right? He only squeezed the fruit itself, the zeisim or the anovim. So the pri itself certainly contracts tuma, but it doesn't have the shiur to be metame the mashke that's coming out of the zeisim vanovim. And immediately when he begins to squeeze the zeisim vanovim and a little bit of mashke comes out, then the size or the volume of the pri, if you will, becomes smaller through the squeezing process, and it's now less than a kibetza. Now, something that's less than a kibetza could contract tumah, but he cannot transmit tumah. So ochel eino metami achirim, can't transmit ela let's say it this way, double negative. Eino metami achirim ein bo kamu shel kibetza. So therefore, the fruits which have now been squeezed and the juice has been removed, they are now smaller than a kibetza. They cannot be mitami achirim. They cannot transmit tumah. So Gemara now is mitayik. Ha! It would seem that in the case of anovim nischatim yoser mikibetza, if the grapes, after they were squeezed, are still a kibetz's size, then apparently the mitz, which is nischat, would also be tameh. Now, apparently the same din should logically apply in the case of sochet litoch hakedera, because the Mishnah doesn't make any distinctions, and it's an unqualified statement. So the Gemara asks, V'i amrit mashke habo li ochel ochel hu, b'mai is kasher. How could this mitz, in the case where the anovim ayosar mikabetza, be considered tmeim, or tomei, we'll call the mitz haniskat is tomei, when it is an ochel, because it came into an ochel, and it didn't have a hechshel kabel tumah? So more answers, who most of them are mafarik, that this mission has to be interpreted as a case where the mitzah sochut, as we called it before, remains a mashke. And why is the mitzah nischa a mashke? And the answer is because he squeezed it into a kara for the purpose of it being a mashke. And in Zeis Manovim, it remains a mashke. I mean, I shouldn't say it remains a mashke, it becomes a mashke, I should say, through the squeezing process. So therefore, the mitzah nischat is tomei, when it went into a kara. And the reason for that is because it is a mashke. Had it been litoch hakedera, and there's food in there, become an ochel, we would require hechsher, that it comes in contact with one of the seven mashke. And therefore, in the absence of a hechsher, it would remain tar. But here, we're talking about mashkin ayotzim and azesim v'anovim, that became mashkim, because they went into a kara, they were collected, they were not in a pot of food, and now that they have a state of mashkin, therefore, since the peri itself has the size of a kibetza, the mashkin are tmeim. So we're here now on Daf Kuf Mem Heyam and Aleph, and we're up to Amar Rabbi Yirmi on the fourth line down from the top of the Amud, and we'll talk a little bit about more about this controversy, the issue of Mashka Ba Litaken Ochel.